We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's go. I was just looking at the clock. I was like, I think it's time for some rapid fire.
I did too. And I glanced at the clock and I was like, wow, it's a little bit later than I thought it was. So
we could overreact for hours. That's basically what you're saying.
Got that right. Got that right. So Marcus Freeman was asked after the game, the Blue Gold game, about where he and the program are heading into his third season.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously through experience, you're hopefully I'm a better head coach today than I was the first two times I was up here. But, you know, every year you look at what do you need talent-wise to really mold it together to make a run. And I believe this probably is, I would want to say, one of the most talented rosters we've had since I've been here, right? And now it's our job is to build that talent and mold that talent and make sure we teach that talent to get to where we want to go. And but now we have a new offensive coordinator, a couple new coaches, and so we have to really continue to grow as coaches to develop that talent that we have. But I'm excited. I'm excited for this group. I'm excited for the build that we're creating right now, right? We're building towards that first game we have in a College Station. And so I love where we're at. We have to really make some strides from now until summer. And then when they get back for summer, those 6-8 weeks, we got to make sure they're really efficient.
So you heard Freeman talk about the state of the roster and the talent that they've got on the roster right now. Where do you rate it compared to what we've seen from Notre Dame over the last several seasons? You know, that in several goes back to the Brian Kelly era.
Sure.
Well,
I think that, you know, there have been good rosters in the past at Notre Dame, 2015, I think 2018. Brian does this so much better than I do.
2018 was the first playoff season. Yeah. 2020 was the second playoff.
2020. Season. Like, yeah. There's been good rosters, right? The difference for me between those rosters and this one is the quarterback position. They've got a dynamic quarterback room that can win you a national championship. That's the difference. That's what they lacked on those other teams. They did not have a dynamic, game-changing quarterback on those rosters. They had the offensive line. They had the receivers. They had the running. You know, they had all these different things, which is great. And this team has that as well. I think they're deeper probably now than they've been in the past. But the top-level talent, I think they've had, they just never had the quarterback, and they do now. That's the difference maker for me.
I think it is a big difference, but I think that when you look at, like, you split the teams up out there, and you still had a really good talent level defensively on both sides of the ball. Now, obviously, like, I don't think that either one of the, you know, those defensive units was going to go out and be a first team unit, you know, like during a regular season. But man, the way they, like, on both sides of the ball, the way they are able to attack space, and it does start with the quarterback, you're absolutely right, the way they're able to attack space offensively and the way they are able to defend space defensively. Yeah. You know, like looking at a true freshman like Kingston Viliamu-Asa, and you know, and the amount of the range that he has, the amount of space that he is able to cover out there. Like when you saw him drop back and defend that pass. Now you still need to see him kind of do some things, you know, I think in front of him as well, but the way they're, you know, like I just going back to what I was saying, the way they are able to attack space now offensively with the kind of athletes they have and the way they are able to defend space defensively, it looks a lot different than anything we've seen.
That's fair.
Over the last several years. So, I, you know, but you're absolutely right. To be a true championship level program, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, and I know Brian has as well, but it starts with the quarterback. And I think that they, like the roster, the guys they have on the roster right now, you're seeing championship level, you're starting to see championship level quarterback play. And that's ultimately going to be the biggest difference for this program. Because if everything else was the same, but you got championship level quarterback play, you're talking about a huge difference right there. And it's just, it's very encouraging to see the kind of quarterback play that we saw out there. We only saw really a couple mistakes from all of the quarterbacks in the entire game out there Saturday. And that was like, you know, just look at the level of play in the quarterbacks from one year to the next. And again, you don't even have Riley Leonard out there. That's pretty encouraging, I think.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Okay. So the facility, Notre Dame did the groundbreaking for that new football facility Saturday morning. And well, here's Marcus Freeman with some thoughts on that.
If we've ever lost to a recruit because of facility, then that probably isn't a loss, right? And so I want to make sure I answer that first, that our facility has never been a recruiting disadvantage for us. And you know, but what it does is it shows the recruits that you have in your current players the vision you have for the future. We've outgrown the building we're in, right? That's the number one reason we had to create a new building. We've just, the numbers in college football have just grown in terms of the staffs, the players, it's just grown. So that was the biggest thing. We have to create a bigger building. And then with that, you know, we're getting state-of-the-art everything, right? State-of-the-art just in terms of how can we truly provide our players with every possible opportunity for development, right? What ways can we help develop? And that can be in nutrition. That can be in recovery and treatment, your classroom, how we're teaching a classroom setting. And I think it's really important that as we build a new building, it's about giving the current players and the future players every possibility to really develop and reach their full potential. And that's the vision behind it.
Vince, scale of 1 to 10, how important is this new facility for Notre Dame?
I mean, it is important because I'm going to give it like a 9. Because I think there, look, you can ignore it if you want to, but there's still an arms race in college football, and facilities is part of it. And Notre Dame has an elite indoor facility. Obviously, they had an elite in football building in 2005 when the Goog opened, and now they're going to have rivaling the best, you know, once this thing is completed. I mean, it's going to have everything in it, you know, and you see. You watch like YouTube videos of these tours of these football buildings that other schools have. And, you know, you got the recording studio and the barber shop and, you know, all of the things for recovery. And they're going to have the full kitchen and the cafeteria.
Yeah, I was going to say the nutrition area.
Yeah.
Top like, of the list, right?
You're going to have all of these things at your fingertips that they've never had before. And if you think Notre Dame is recruiting well now, and Marcus Freeman is right, if they've lost any kind of recruit because of the facilities, then they probably weren't going to be a good fit at Notre Dame to begin with. But now you're going to have that as well as one of the tools in your tool belt when you're going out and you're recruiting. I mean, this – look, a building is not going to put a team over the edge, okay? That's just not going to be the case. Colorado has a really awesome football building. They won 4 games last year, okay? Right. I mean, it's not going to put you over the top, but it certainly doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? It certainly doesn't hurt. And it can help with recruiting. It can help with a lot of different football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Look, when you look at where the football facilities are currently in relation to the rest of campus, you need to have all, you know, like if you want to call it bells and whistles, you know, like he said, they have outgrown this. When this thing is said and done, and I see Larry, well, he was asking for you know, they were a little bit light on, you know, the real meat and potatoes specifics about everything this is going to have. They didn't have, you know, in, like a virtual tour of what this is going to look like on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, they showed what the outside is going to look like, and it's essentially going to kind of look like the outside of the football stadium, you know, looks right now. And, you know, as long as the good, but that when this facility is done and the startup date is 2020, the completion date is 2026. So we're talking 2 years from now, because
a long time.
This is a massive building that they're building.
And
remember,
a massive, like, they got to get rid of a bunch of stuff too.
Right,
like,
because all the tent, this is going to go from where the Goog is now. The Goog is still going to be there, but the football facility is going to go from where the Goog currently is all the way down to, that's Twickenham, right? Yep. That street. Mm-hmm. It's going to go down like where the tennis facility is right now. The tennis facility is not going to be there anymore. So it's going to go from the Goog. There's going to be a new building that goes all the way down to Twickenham where all this stuff is going to be housed. And all the stuff that you know, you talked about. I thought it was very telling that they brought Benjamin Morrison out there. And when you're talking about, you know, like, you're not going to lose recruiting battles and all that kind of stuff, but you've got a star current player who is out there at the microphone during this, you know, ceremony out there talking about the importance of this kind of stuff, you know, because when you're talking about actual recruiting, I do think, like, if you're going to say what's more important in recruiting, facility, NIL. I think NIL is going to win that now, you know, like 9 times out of 10 every time. But you also, you also have to have these facilities and everything that is going to go with it to be able to continue to compete on a national level the way Notre Dame obviously believes, you know, that and all their fans and administration and coaches and everybody else believes that they need to compete. You've got to have this kind of thing because, I mean, just starting off like with the nutrition aspect, the fact that, you know, you're not going to have to order out food anymore or have it right. made on another part of campus and then shipped over anymore. It can all be done there. It can all be made there. They can all eat there. And then on top of the fact that they're also going to have, you know, the academics side of this thing that's going right. to be housed there as well. All these different things that they're going to be able to do. Vince has got, you know, kind of the rendering of the outside.
Yeah. Thing. I wanted to bring this up, and obviously it doesn't give you, you know, too many specifics, but it does show you the size of this thing. And so if anybody's ever been on campus and you know how big the Goog is, I mean, let me see here. Let me go back over here. The Goog is right here. Okay. And if you took the Goog and you flipped it on its side, you're going to see that this new facility is wider and longer. Okay. And on top of that, if you look at it just based on the Loftus Center, which is right there, and the Loftus Center not only has a full football field in it, but it also has, I believe, an 8-lane track that circles it. And this facility is longer than that.
Yeah.
This is going to be a massive building, a massive building. So they're doing it right, man. Like Notre Dame, yes, it took a while to get this done. We have been waiting for an announcement about what they were going to do forever, it feels like. Because first it was just going to be a renovation of the Goog, then it was going to be an addition to the Goog, and now it's a completely new, brand new building. They're doing it right, man. They're spending $200 million on this building, and it's going to be amazing when it's done. Amazing.
You're waiting for that tour, aren't you?
I can't wait. I will wait the 2 years at this point.
You don't even care about the tour. You just want them to invite the media over and have that nutrition center up and running
and
provide the first media meal.
Yes.
Vince is waiting for.
They used to feed the media at signing day. Remember? They used to feed the media on days like that.
I remember, Vince.
Oh, where's that? Come on, man. No excuses anymore. No excuses. You got it right there.
So Michael says, do you think the negative comments from Brian Kelly woke a sleeping giant with this? He was pushing for this kind of stuff for a long time. This has been in the works for a long time. This wasn't just like this all of a sudden happened, you know, but when you're talking about this kind of project for the price tag that comes with it, there was a lot of fundraising that had to be done to go out and get it. So Shields family.
Yeah, I mean, look,
tip of the cap, right?
BK had nothing to do with this as far as his comments when he was walking out the door. Nothing. But they're going to have all the things that he says that they weren't ever going to have. Interesting. So, and look, I'm sure from Brian Kelly's standpoint, he was probably getting frustrated because they kept telling him that they were going to renovate and they were going to do all these things, and it wasn't getting done. And I'm sure he was frustrated, and that's probably where his comments came from. But if he was just patient, he would have gotten it.
But look, you know, when you look at all the analysts, you know, like you hear about guys literally sharing a closet, you know, in the current building,
because
they outgrew that building a long time ago. And with the ability to add all these different junior staff members that they didn't have even 5 years ago, that takes up a lot. You need space for that. And again, there are certain things that you need to be able to do. And the nutrition aspect of this and the ability to feed a football team, and there'll be other athletes who are fed over there as well from different sports. Yeah. That's all huge, you know,
for what
they need to accomplish.
Absolutely. 100%. It's going to be massive. And it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to check it out when it's done. I mean, I'll wait the 2 years.
Fill in the blank. Marcus Freeman said they're going to bring in a punter via the transfer portal. After watching Mitch Jeter miss a field goal Saturday, you fill blank about the current state of the Irish kicking game going into this offseason?
I want you to ask me this question once I find out what punter they're bringing in, but I guess I'm happy to hear that he's saying it out loud that they're going to go get a punter, because when Bryce McPherson left, it was like, they better go get a punter in the portal. You know what I mean? And people are like, oh no, they got one on the roster. No, they don't. So I'm very happy to hear him at least admit that they're going to go get one in the portal. So that's important. Number one. Number two, I'm not overly worried about Mitch Jeter. He does not have the Spencer Schrader, you know, he does not have a huge leg, but he's got a very accurate leg. And so,
but that's why I'm a little concerned because I've seen him 2 weeks in a row. Once he drills the upright, and then that field goal that he attempted the other, you know, Saturday was, man, it just,
I'm not worried about it. He'll be fine.
I don't know.
He'll be fine. Not worried about it in any way.
I hope so. It's got to look better though. Somebody said they feel excited about the kicking game. I am not excited.
I'm not saying that either. I'm not going that far either. I'm excited about all the PATs that they're going to be kicking because of all the touchdowns they're going to score. How about that?
Okay. Still a good chance that one of those big games is going to come down to a field goal at the end. I don't feel overly excited about it.
As long as it's inside 40 yards, I feel fine about it.
That can change. D-Hawk bragging about his Orioles taking 2 of 3 against the Royals.
The Orioles should take 2 out of 3 from the Royals.
They should. The Royals are better this year. They're going to compete in the Central, but the Orioles are better right now. They should have taken 2 out of 3. It's funny because I follow a couple guys who are like Orioles, you know, media.
Okay.
Media might be a loose term, but one of them hosts a podcast had me on a few years back to talk about Pat Connaughton and Trey Mancini, you know, like, so he hosts one of these. I think it's like a Locked On Orioles podcast. They are still, they're still pretty bitter about the Royals beating the Orioles in 2014 in the playoffs. They haven't gotten over it.
10 years.
It's been 10 years. 10 years. Get over it already. They were stinging about it. Yeah, the Royals are off to a more than decent start, D-Hawk. I mean, they've already accomplished more in the first couple weeks of the season than they accomplished, I think, in the first couple months last year. I'm at least cautiously optimistic about it.
There you go. They're in second place.
Yeah.
Behind the Indians.
Guardians.
I will always say Indian, sorry.
Oh, boy.
I did that on purpose. Guardians is a dumb name.
Fill in the blank. I do, too. Fill in the blank. The 2024 version of the shirt was unveiled ahead of the weekend, and it is blank.
Blah. It's blah. Like, you and I talked about it at the game on Saturday, and I don't mind the design. I don't mind the design. I think it's very simple, you know, and that's fine. The color is atrocious. The color is terrible. Like, put it on a navy blue. Oh, put it on a green. Don't put it on that pukey mustard color. It was terrible. Terrible.
I like I completely agree. Like, personally, said this before, I think the shirt should always be green. I favor the green shirt.
Me too.
Gold is horrible. If it's not going to be green, at least make it navy blue. But I just – that – pale pasty gold, and it just feels like I like the logo on the back a little better than the one on the front.
Fair.
It feels like they've got two front side logos. Yeah. Like they came up with two and they couldn't decide which they wanted, and they flipped a coin and put one on the front and one on the back. So
it's just very underwhelming. And regardless of whatever the design is, it's totally trashed by the color of the shirt. Like, I will not buy that shirt. It's not happening.
It will not be a shirt that I will buy.
And here's the other thing that I don't know that people think about. Is that really the color that you want to see throughout the entire stadium?
Right.
Like that.
It doesn't even look like anything.
No.
It's not even a true gold. It's like a, I don't even know what it is.
It looks like a bad suntan or something like people are going to be wearing throughout the whole stadium. Like, I just don't like it. Just not good.
Emma says the girl who caught the punt is a friend of hers, track athlete.
Hey, oh, well, nice. She did a good athleticism. Job, man.
Showed a little athleticism out there.
Hey, Emma, you can let her know that she had a great catch, but she was also very surprised with herself. If you watch the look on her face. But it was great.
Well, after that first punt, I don't think she thought she was going to come anywhere near it, you know, let alone have a chance to catch it.
So. And she sprinted after it. I mean, there was no way. That was like a coffin corner kick. Like, there was no way that she was going to get to that. It's like, hey, kick it to her. Give her a chance. Give her a chance.
She held on. I think everyone was impressed with that play that she made on that ball. Very nice. So Jim Tressel and Lloyd Carr were both at the game Saturday. I saw Lloyd with his green baseball cap up in the press box before.
Did you?
The game Saturday. I did.
You.
He was in, you remember the booth? You remember where our radio booth used to be?
Yep.
He was in that booth on the very end. Okay. Down there, right next to where our radio booth used to be.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not the the opposing athletic director's booth usually?
That I don't know, but I know that there were always a lot of opposing fans, it seemed like.
Fair enough.
But that's where he was. He was down there on the end wearing his green Notre Dame cap. And, you know, there's some photos of Jim Tressel. He was wearing a Notre Dame.
Yeah, he had the zip up
down there. So my question to you, you've got Ohio State, you've got Michigan. Which of those two former coaches would you take in his prime?
This is going to come right out of my bias. And that's okay. I will take Jim Tressel and the sweater vest over Lloyd Carr all day long. That was back when I didn't mind Ohio State as much as I do now. I think the Ryan Day / Urban Meyer version of Ohio State gets under my skin more than the predecessors. And I don't know. I kind of always respected the sweater vest. I mean, it was his style and he was rocking it no matter what.
He did go sweater vest. That's true. He was big on the sweater vest.
He was. And I just never liked Lloyd Carr. He always rubbed me the wrong way. Sorry. See, I'm with him.
I always thought Lloyd was, you know, like he seemed a little bit cranky himself. But I mean, we are talking about Ohio State. Yeah, we are talking about Michigan. They both won national championships, you know, with their school. So, you know, like, it's kind of a wash there. They both had really good records. I just like when you sit back and you look at the track record that Lloyd Carr has, and after Lloyd left, that was basically that period after he left was when it really went downhill.
Enjoyed that very much.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't enjoy that because it is Michigan.
You're right.
But when you look at like these other guys have kind of sustained things there, you know, Ryan Day has sustained things. Urban Meyer obviously did very well after Tressel was gone. So when you look at who had the bigger impact after he left, I think I've got to go with Lloyd Carr on this one.
Well, that's fair. I think Ohio State did a better job of hiring than Michigan did. I mean, look who Michigan brought in.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. They did bring in Urban Meyer. You know, you were able to get a coach who won a national championship, but I believe they brought him out of his first retirement, if that's what he called it back then.
Right. So, like, medical retirement.
He was on the market.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Michigan had a couple of swings.
Michigan tried Rich Rod and all those different guys.
They had some, like, you know, you hire Rich Rod, you're going against who you are as Michigan. Like, that was just a boneheaded move. Like, you don't want Rich Rod's offense up in Michigan. So that was a problem. And then who was the big guy that they brought in after Rich Rod? Who was that bum?
Brady Hoke.
Brady Hoke.
I think was he right after Rich Rod?
Yeah. Brady Hoke was a joke. Hoke the joke. Like, that was a bad move too. You know, so they didn't do a very good job of hiring either. But your point is well stated, and I agree with your point, but I cannot go with Lloyd Carr. Sorry. And CJ Carr, I trust.
You trust CJ, but not Grandpa.
Two generations removed. So we're good.
You know, he did play a part in, you know, unleashing Tom Brady on the world when you think about it.
And even more of a reason to not like him.
Vince, it's NFL draft week. And of course, the draft starts this Thursday. Your Chicago Bears have the numero uno, number one pick, scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you for the draft to start?
I'm like a 6, and it's usually not even close to that high. Now, the first round is always interesting. I just feel like it takes way too long. 15 minutes between picks or whatever the number is astronomical. Like, you know, you should know, you should have done your homework by now to be able to know who you're going to pick in the first round with some degree of, you know, movement, right? 15 minutes is ridiculous. So the first round takes way too long, but I do enjoy it. Now I've got a reason to actually pay even closer attention because the Bears have two top 10 picks. And so
that's true.
I am interested to see what they do. I'm pretty ticked off about who they're going to select with the number one overall pick. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just going to have to get used to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of reason for excitement. It's really, when you get to this part of April, it's like it's almost a little bit anticlimactic because there's obviously so much buildup for the draft every year, and it's like it's finally here. And what's tough for me, and you know, any team who you know is picking around to where my team is picking, it's like late, you know, like it's probably going to be 11 o'clock by the time my team actually makes its first pick, and they could trade. I'm actually kind of hoping that they trade down, so I might sit there all night, not even, you know, seeing them make a pick in the first round. I don't know, but if I were you, I'd be very excited. Like, you get the number one pick, and you've got the number nine pick. Like, your team should make both of its picks within the first hour and a half or so of the draft. So,
I mean, it's going to work out well. We're going to have the show on Thursday. It'll wrap up with enough time to grab a little bite, and then the draft starts at 8 o'clock. I mean, the problem is the draft's going to go until like 11, but you know, it's going to be long as it always is. But hey, it's fun. I do enjoy the draft. I will say that I do enjoy kind of the thought process behind it. One of my dream like scenarios, dream whatever you want to call it, I would love to sit in the war room of an NFL team on draft weekend. I would find that fascinating. It wouldn't even have to be my team. I wouldn't even care. I would just love
to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, just to see how it goes, man. I would absolutely love that. That would be a bucket list item that will never happen, but I would love to do that.
We need to get Vince a Make-A-Wish and see if he can see if he can sit in the draft room.
I mean, that's why I like that stupid movie, The Draft or whatever, with Kevin Costner. Like,
Draft Day.
It's such a dumb movie, but I like am totally into like the politics behind all the stuff. Like, I totally buy into it all day long. That's why I like Moneyball. You know what I mean? It would be so much fun.
Yep. Decaf wanting to know where the draft is. Detroit. It is in Detroit this year. And I saw that Eminem and Roger Goodell, talk about strange bedfellows. They've like have made some promo together, you know, to pitch Detroit for the draft. If there would have been at least one other Notre Dame guy who was projected to go in the first round, I was thinking about, you know, maybe hitting up Brian to, you know, to see about, because it is, you know, Detroit's not that far away, but just one guy, I don't think it's worth it.
You know, I have NFL credentials. Did you know that?
You have NFL credentials?
Yeah.
What's this
all about? You have to like, you know, go through this whole process to even be on like the list.
Uh-huh.
I've done it.
For what? Where? What are you talking about?
I was thinking about going to one of the Detroit postseason games. And so I did all the legwork, and then something came up and I couldn't go.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Interesting.
So someday we're going to have to go to an NFL game, buddy.
Do it.
Let's do it. You and me.
All right, one more question for you. Longtime New York Yankees radio announcer John Sterling retired last week. I don't know if you've seen much about this. Neither one of us are Yankees fans, but the guy, he's like 84 years old. He's been the voice of the Yankees for like 36 years or something like that. So the Yankees had a ceremony for him over the weekend before a game. And the team gave him, and I'm talking about like Aaron Boone and the team, the actual players, they gave him an 83-inch television as a gift.
Hmm.
Rate that gift on a scale of 1 to 10.
3.5.
Wow.
I mean, is it one of those like $10,000 TVs, you know, like the really nice ones? Or is it just a big one? You know what I mean? Because there's a difference. I walk through Costco. I see the differences. You can get a massive TV for not that much money, but
around $1,000 probably on average, right?
But like, if you got like one of the like curved, you know, like really awesome, be like $10,000. Like, okay, that's not bad. It's not a bad one, but like, I feel like they could have done something that meant a little bit more. Like, in 10 years, that TV is going to be replaced by something else. Because the technology just increases. You know what I mean? Like,
interesting. So, like, D-Rock says 2. John says 10. So, I mean, there's
John wants
a pretty,
that
good, TV. Pretty good range there. You're saying what? 3?
3, 3.5. Like, give me a piece of the...
Like, what do you give him? That's what I want to know. Like, what, you know, what... I think the idea was, okay, you're retiring. You know, he obviously retired once the season started. He decided... Right. Again, 84 years old, that he couldn't do it anymore after he'd been doing it for a long time. DK, I'm not a Yankees fan, okay? I'm not a Yankees fan. In fact, I like the Red Sox much more than
do.
I like
And
the
that's
Yankees.
Legit, folks.
I'm just, John
I know
Sterling,
that.
You know, it's like, in any case, like, what are you getting? And I think the idea was, okay, he's retiring. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be watching all these games. So let's get him the biggest freaking TV that we can get him that'll fit in his living room.
Fair enough.
Let's give him an 83-incher. Like, you know, I guess they, you know, because they're Major League Baseball players, they could have thrown in and got him a car or, you know, but he's 84.
That's a classic, yeah.
And he lives in New York City. Like, do you even drive a car if you're 84 and you live in New York City?
I wonder if he's got enough room for an 83-inch TV in whatever house or apartment he lives in. Like, if I came home with an 83-inch TV, my wife would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, if he's in a Seinfeld-size apartment, you know, like... Again, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm just talking about the fact that the Yankees radio guy retired. Just because I talk about a team or a whatever doesn't mean I'm a fan.
Oh, that's great. It's so great. So good.
I cannot stand the Yankees. You know this. I can't stand the Yankees.
I do know this.
But John Sterling is, you know, like.
I just feel like they could have been more creative. That's all.
I agree. I just don't know, like. Sure. I don't know what it's like. What do you get the guy who theoretically has everything? And apparently he's still a flip phone guy as well. So it's not he's like up there on
technology. He's not going to know what to do with that TV. It's too much. It's like,
buy him a freaking mansion. Well,
I
don't know about that. I'd probably rate it at about a 5, you know, a little bit higher than you guys rating it. Just because, again, like, what do you get a guy? Like that.
Yeah. You put that into account, then I get what you're saying. I'd rather have a piece of the broadcast booth or something sentimental. But then again, he's old and maybe he doesn't care about that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure he's got a, you know, like a closet full of, or a, you know, like a display case full of World Series rings.
Right. Memorabilia, yeah, for sure.
It's not like they didn't give him. Matt's just trying to push my buttons now. It's not like he hasn't got anything from.
Right.
I don't know what you get a guy.
Yeah, like that's fair. That's fair. It's better than a lot of the bozo gifts that people have been, you know, that teams and whatever have been giving people that are retiring. There's some really weird crap out there that they're getting.
Like if he's a golfer or something, you know, get him like a Yankees golf cart, maybe. I don't know. Would that be better than an 83-inch TV?
Get him some logoed golf balls.
Yeah.
For life.
Yeah. Somebody came in talking about Aaron Boone getting tossed out.
I heard about that.
Whatever.
There's a fan that was heckling the umpire and he tossed out Boone. Right. I think that's fantastic.
Now, would George Steinbrenner have even given him an 83-inch TV if the boss was still around? I don't think he would have either.
Nope.
So I think when you consider that the team actually brought him out this 83-incher, I thought, you know.
Did they like actually walk out with it?
Yeah. I think Aaron Boone came out of the dugout, like schlepping the 83-inch box out there.
It's still in the box, fresh from Best Buy. Like they just went and picked it up.
Somebody go to Costco. Send the deal.
How's he gonna get it home? Costco. Here you go, buddy. Figure out how to get it home. I don't know what you're gonna do.
That's right. All right. Well, that is gonna do it for tonight. Thanks for joining us again. Hit that like button if you would before you leave. thanks for being here tonight. Good start to the week. Ryan's going to be in tomorrow. We've got plenty of both draft and recruiting talk on tomorrow's show. Vince is going to be in for Jesse. Jesse will be out for a few days this week because he's actually headed to Chicago to watch the Cubs tomorrow. But Jesse will be back at the end of the week. So you've got Vince and I with rapid fire tomorrow after Ryan steps in for some recruiting and NFL draft stuff. All right. Appreciate you as always. Hit the like button before you leave, and we'll talk to you later. IB Nation Sports Talk.